going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on into the Lineup Logic Podcast NBA edition coming at you for Monday, November 6th. We have a short slate here. Okay, guys, we have a short slate. We have a, only a three gamer, but some juicy games. I mean, anytime you get a Brooklyn Phoenix, you know, in there, that's kind of like a Brooklyn LA. You kind of just want to jump in there. It's fantasy goodness all the way through. So you want to play these slates for funsies. I'm going to try to also possibly get a Tuesday breakdown out there tomorrow. We'll see. I got the NFL game by game breakdown, but the Tuesday slate for NBA is a lot bigger. So I might be able to jump in there and get that taken care of. We got some other stuff to do today, so we'll see. Keep your eyes and ears peeled. Listen, short slate format, I'm going to go with a little bit of a different format today because there's only the three games. I'm not going to go with the player pool. I'm going to go game by game, give you a matchup breakdown. And actually, I kind of liked doing the breakdown this way. Let me know, feedback loop here, guys, you know, okay, make sure it's not just me in the closet talking to myself, which it is right now, okay, that's where I record, that's my fancy studio. Let me know if you like the format. If you like this matchup or game by game format, let me know, or if you like the player pool format, let me know. Either way works for me. Anyway, all right, so let's go ahead and jump straight into the breakdown. I'm going to try and keep this one quick. Game number one of the night, Boston versus Atlanta, 204 total here. Boston favored by 8 at home. Just so you're aware, Boston running a pace at 98 possessions per 100. Wait, no, that's not the way to that. I'm an idiot. 98.3, that's their pace. It ranks 26th in the league. Defensive efficiency, number one in the NBA. 94.7, only allowing 94 points per 100 possessions. That's how you talk about that. Okay, got it. Thank you. Atlanta running actually a pretty quick pace. Makes sense. They're young guys. They got fresh legs with, you know, Torian Prince, Kent Bazemore, Schroeder, Schroeder and John Collins. You know, this is a young roster. They want to get out. They want to run. They're going to push the ball. 103.1, seventh in the league. Defensive efficiency, not so great. 106.6, that's the 23rd in the NBA. You know, it's a positive pace differential for Boston. They're on the road. You know, the difficulty here is this is the lowest total of the night, and Boston pretty much has the edge in every single category. Atlanta coming off the back-to-back, you know, it's a very lopsided affair. In fact, I would probably, if I was a betting man, and I am, if I'm not a betting man and I didn't do this pod, by the way, hey, thanks a lot, fucking Derek Carr, for throwing an interception and allowing Jay Cutler to come down and get put up 8 points. I was about to crush the pick'em pool just if the Raiders covered. The pot has carried over in a couple weeks. Every single week, I was building up for a multi-week takedown of my pick'em pool. But hey, thanks a lot, fucking Derek Carr. Anyway, all right, I got that off my chest. What am I going to tell my 2-year-old this morning? Like, hey, Dad, good to see you. Do you want a banana, pal? Hey, by the way, can I tell you about what sucks? Fucking 2-point conversions. That's what sucks when Kenyon Drake gets a 2-point conversion because Oakland's defense sucks. All right, Dad, I'm ready to go to school now. Sorry. Boston's going to win this game handily. Atlanta, you know, they had a great game yesterday against Cleveland. Cleveland's defense is ranked 30th. Boston's defense is ranked 1. Boston has Brad Stevens, and Brad Stevens is literally, I mean, coach of the year. Give it to him now. Just give it to him now. You know, Gordon Hayward mangles his leg, and I just had a flinch. Every time I think of Hayward and Zach Miller, I just flinch. I can't deal that shit. I can't. I'm terrible. So squeamish. So anyway, back to the basketball. Atlanta allowing a ton of peripheral production. You know, not so much in the scoring, but a ton of peripheral production in the 20s and assists and rebounds and all that kind of stuff allowed. I think Kyrie is in play. The problem with Kyrie is if everybody has a matchup advantage, why are they going to have to depend on Kyrie to do a lot of scoring? It's not necessarily the best, you know, the best situation to go to the highest priced player in this spot. A possible blowout. He could only get 28 minutes. You know, they have a very efficient rotation. I think if you look at the whole slate, 28 minutes actually isn't that bad. There's not a lot of guys who are going to get over 30 minutes. There's actually hasn't been that many. I mean, Schroeder will. Problem is he's not going to be able to do much against Marcus Smart, who, you know, is instantly going to start to guard him. And speaking of, you know, speaking of Marcus Smart, I don't mind him. He is a little bit expensive, but he's actually was shooting pretty poorly for a while. And he's probably turning it on. The thing that's nice about Marcus Smart is he is the guy who will get you, could get you 8 rebounds and, you know, 8 assists. While Kyrie might get you 6 to 8 assists, Marcus Smart might add those rebounds, and he's not going to be as much of a scoring threat. However, you look at the opportunity for Marcus Smart to add the peripherals, that's the kind of Marcus Smart ceiling game that maybe you get interested in. So I don't mind Marcus Smart. Atlanta allowing guys to get to the rim, 25th in opponent two-point shooting percentage. So he is a guy who you want to be at the rim. You want him being able to drive and create rather than relying on the spot-up shooting because he's just not that good at it. You know, one thing that I think you have to consider, though, is like, okay, so if this is lopsided, who benefits? In the last two blowouts, the Bostons have played, idiot, Jaylen Brown, leading fantasy scorer, Marcus Smart, also high, one of the higher usage rates. So I think you have the ability here to go to some of these guys and just hope they pop over 30. And you know, I'm not going to go to, I'm probably not going to go to Tatum. Marcus Morris back, his minutes are starting to tick down. But I think Jaylen Brown is very interesting. I think Marcus Smart is very interesting. And I, like I just said, Marcus Morris is really interesting. He's coming back into minutes. His price is still like ridiculously low, which doesn't really make any sense, but he could definitely produce in a solid matchup. Hawks struggle massively against the power forward. Mike Muscala is out. It's going to be Luke Babbitt City, USA, Babbittopia. Yeah, I mean, I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take Marcus Morris. I'll take 25 minutes of Marcus Morris versus Luke Babbitt. I mean, you know, that's the thing. The Hawks right now are down Muscala, so everybody's going to be looking at Babbitt. Babbitt is like nearly min price, if not min price. He got 40 minutes yesterday in Cleveland. Hold your horses for just a second. Would you please hold your horses in the stable, because let's not get it twisted. Luke Babbitt is Luke Babbitt. He's bad at basketball. He can't even start over Mike Muscala. Okay. So he played the worst defense in the NBA yesterday. Okay. The worst, literally the worst defense. They lose to the Pacers, the Nets. They lose to everybody. If LeBron wasn't on that team would be the more depressing than the Browns. Let's call it that. There's an interesting Cleveland comparison. And I know I got some Cleveland listeners out there, wouldn't it? Yes, I think it would be. Because if you didn't have Braun, what would there be to be excited about? What? I'm waiting. Nothing. There's literally nothing, and you have LeBron, so you have the greatest player in the world, but, you know, it's really bad. So I'm cautious about liking any Hawks. I think this is a letdown spot for them. You know, they just beat the Cavs. They played their hearts out, their little bird hearts, and I just don't really see their prices paying off. I don't know. I mean, the only attackable weakness on Boston is the three. So Torian Prince maybe, but he's priced up. It's not as interesting to me. It's not as interesting to me as some of the cheaper Boston assets and Brooklyn Phoenix assets, who there's going to be more scoring, there's going to be worse defense, there's going to be, I mean, there's just no reason to overinvest in Hawks here when you don't have to. So plays from this game. Kyrie is a meh. Not really. I mean, tournament only because, of course, he has a ceiling. He has probably the highest ceiling on the Celtics. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, both 5K plays that have the peripheral ability to get you over 30. Marcus Morris, too cheap. And Luke Babbitt, fine. If you want to go to Luke Babbitt and you want to just kind of do that self-inflicted wounds thing. And possibly Torian Prince, but I'm not thrilled about it. He hasn't had a massive night of production since that Philadelphia game, Philadelphia. Okay, moving on. Brooklyn at Phoenix, 234 total. Phoenix favored by 1.5. Brooklyn running the fastest pace in the NBA, 109.3. Phoenix running the second fastest pace, 105.9. Which, by the way, 105.9 sounds like a radio station. Love it. Two, that's a big difference. Like, four possessions is huge. Like, yesterday the Spurs had a plus 8 pace differential, and they're one of the slowest teams in the NBA, and the Suns are one of the fastest teams in the NBA. So here we are looking at a plus 4 pace differential for Phoenix, even though they're already one of the fastest teams in the NBA. Guys, we've seen this game. It's like 130 points scoring because full YOLO, no one cares. Brooklyn is 27th in defensive efficiency. I'm going to let you guess where Phoenix is. Oh, 28th was close. It's 26th. 26th. Cavs are worse. Highest total, tightest spread, worst defense, stack it up. I'll say that again. Highest total, tightest spread, worst defense, stack it up. You got to get it right, though. Here's the problem. If you want to be overexposed to this game, you should be. You're right. You're doing it right. If you're playing Hawks over these guys, you're doing it wrong. You should be overexposed to this game. Overweight. Now, you have to get it right, though. Okay? You have to get it right from a price perspective because you have a three-game slate. And when you have a three-game slate, the range of outcomes, there's certain players that you have to have. For example, last night, Fern was playing the turbo slate. I was playing the same slate. Okay, the difference, we had a lot of the same players. The difference between Fern's lineup and my lineup was one person. One person, basically. One major impact person, and it was Yusuf Nurkic. He had Nurk. Nurk went ham, went for 50, which doesn't make any sense against Steven Adams. Like, what is you? Were you tired, Steven Adams? What is going on there? You're one of the best defensive centers in the league. So he had Nurk, and I had Dwight Howard, and Dwight Howard got blown out and didn't play any minutes in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, it was the margin. You don't have a lot of margin for error, especially if you're going to be overexposed on a small, small slate. The range of outcomes is not, it's very, very tight. I mean, the difference between cashing and not cashing last night was like 3 points. Well, no, fuck, that's the dumbest thing I ever said. The difference, the range of scores was tighter, okay? Is that an easy way to say that? Right, like, okay, so here's for example, I was in 30th place in a 50-50, but I was only 3 points above the cash line. Does that make sense? Right, so the range of scores is tighter because everybody has the same players. So you have to get it right. That's my point. So let's be very detailed about this Phoenix-Brooklyn game. Phoenix has the advantage in rebound in the front court. Okay, they have a front court advantage in this game. Okay, Brooklyn's front court sucks. Phoenix has the advantage, rebounds, defense in the front court. All of their DVP matchups are better from the 3, 4, and 5. Okay, so you can start with possibly TJ Warren. TJ Warren versus Damari Carroll, both 6,200. Damari Carroll pretty much on the regular putting back 30 points in 30 minutes. TJ Warren, you get 70 or you get 14. So, you know, I love TJ. Don't get me wrong. I love TJ when TJ is 5,500. Right? That's my TJ Warren price point, 56, 55, You know, all I need him to, he's not going to kill me if he goes for the classic TJ Warren 24, but he is, you know, he's got a ceiling. 6,200 for TJ Warren makes me a little antsy. I almost maybe want to invest in Damari Carroll there over there because Damari Carroll, I mean, it's not like the matchup is that bad for Damari Carroll, and we know he creates peripherals, all that kind of stuff. So Damari Carroll is very interesting to me at the exact same price point. Now, as far as the four goes, yes, Bender. Okay, Bender is interesting. I don't mind it. I'm not touching Marquise Chris. He's been losing minutes. He sucks. He's getting exposed this year, and he was a fine fantasy asset last year because they, you know, gave him 30 minutes to do whatever he wanted, and he was fine. He's not versus real and real relevant basketball early this year. He's not that good, and Triano doesn't really like him, and he's only fine about 18 minutes. Bender, 24 minutes maybe. That's the problem here. Is you have Bender, Len, Chris, Chandler, all in the front court here, and they basically share 24 minutes each. The only one who really actually gets decent minutes, decent run, is Chandler. Chandler's the closest to 30 minutes of them all. So TJ Warren and TJ Warren and Tyson Chandler are the most interesting, I think, out of the Phoenix front court. Now, on the opposite side, I already talked about Damari Carroll. I don't mind Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He's been producing at a very similar rate to Carroll. Lots of peripherals. We know, actually, that Hollis-Jefferson, of all of the players in this game, beyond TJ Warren and probably Devin Booker, Hollis-Jefferson actually might see some of the most minutes. And in fact, I believe he leads them. He leads the Brooklyn Nets in minutes. He gets about, yeah, I mean, he can go upward of, well, early in the season, not so much, but in his last two, and we've seen him in certain situations down the stretch go for over 30. So 30 in the last game against Phoenix, 37 against LA. You know, the question that you have is are they going to let him play that much? I don't know. You know, if Trevor Booker is out, if Quincy Acey is out, I think you have to play RHJ. Booker has a back, Acey has a groin. We'll see. You know, Friday's game against the Lakers, they didn't play. So if you have minutes opened up in this Brooklyn front court, you got to go to Hollis-Jefferson because he's going to see like 35 minutes. But if those guys are back, you know, Booker's questionable. Acey is probable. And AC will probably demand about 10 to possibly up to 20 minutes. But let's be very clear. We can't play Quincy AC in this situation. I mean, his ceiling this season right now is about 15 points. So 15 points, sure, he's min price, but there's not much ceiling there. So RHJ would be very interesting to me if those guys sit. Like I said, Tyson Chandler's fine. I have a center that I prefer tonight, but I don't mind Tyson Chandler. As for the backcourts, everybody's probably like, oh, tell me what to do with the guard, Sean. Well, they're both terrible. So there's literally no... This is really fun to talk about. There's almost literally no difference. I mean, we're talking fractions of bad. They're separated. Fractions of points, like, you know, it's like, ooh, 28th to 30th DVP. Fucking who? At that point, who cares? When you are that bad at defense and you give up that much fantasy production and you, like, it doesn't matter. So how do we find what we want to find here? You got to hammer the minutes, the usage, the price, and the value. Obviously, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm telling you how to play NBA DFS. It's Booker and Russell, obviously. They're both 8K, 8,200 on FanDuel. The issue, they're going to get the most minutes. They have the most usage. They do the most scoring. Great for their teams. Great. Love it. All in. The problem is that they're actually priced right about where they should be priced. For 40-point ceilings, we know these guys have 40-point ceilings. That's 40, maybe push of like 45. Obviously, Devin Booker has a 99 or 100-point ceiling. We've seen that before from him. I'm kidding. But you know, that's what I'm trying to say is like, they're priced appropriately. So they have kind of like a 5X ceiling. Like they nail it, right? Boom, nailed the 5X. That's what you want. I just think that they are two guys who can do it in this game. So I don't really see Mike James doing what he did last game in this situation. I think, you know, we know he went off for 50 in this or 40 in that last spot against Brooklyn. And I don't mind Mike James, to be clear. The problem with Mike James is that he has a very risky floor. And you are paying nearly $6K for a point guard who is a 29-minute guy who is probably just as likely to get you 23, 24 fantasy points as he is to get you 30, 40 fantasy points. So, I mean, you're looking at 3X possibility here if Mike James doesn't do what he's supposed to do. So there's not a lot of meat on the bone there, as the kids say. Clay is cheaper than D'Angelo and Devin Booker. I don't know. As for LeVert, no, he's been pretty bad. I'm not playing him. Last but not least, play. This is where there is juice. There is meat here. There is deliciousness here. Allen Crabb, $4,100. Why? Because he's been shooting terribly. I mean, just absolutely piss poor, shooting the ball so bad. And, you know, I mean, he literally had 0 points in the Knicks game, 8 points against Denver, 5 against Phoenix. And then the thing was, he's taking the same number of attempts. He's taking 10 to 12 shots per game. What happens in the Laker game? He hits 5 of them. And all of a sudden, he's 4,600. He goes from scoring 13 points per game to up to, you know, 31 because he scored. And we know he can shoot the lights out. We know he is all 3-point. Like he is. And the Suns allow a very, very high 3-point percentage. And Crabb is getting 30 minutes at 4,600. Shh, don't tell your friends. All right, now. Plays from this game, as we talked about, Russell and Booker. Don't mind Mike James if you land on him, but I wouldn't force it. I'll say this. I like Mike James, but I'm not going to force it. How's that? I like him. Don't mind TJ Warren and Damari Carroll. I think as personal preference, they're fine. I like Allen Crabb for his price and his minutes. And Tyson Chandler. RHJ if you get injury news. And Tyson Chandler at center, if you wanna do that, go for it. Okay, Miami Golden State last game of the night, 226 total. Golden State favored by 15.5. It opened at 16, so good for you, Miami. Miami running a pretty slow pace, only 99.9 possessions per game. Why am I not saying this properly? Pace factor. Yeah, it is possessions per game. Sorry. Okay, great. 99.9 possessions per game. That's 19th. Golden State up there in the top, six here. We know 103.8. They are sixth in pace. Miami's defensive efficiency, 104.1. We know that they're solid. We know that they like to have a defensive identity. They're about average right now, allowing 104.1 points. Golden State's defensive efficiency, 105.7, allowing more points. But you know what? They're doing we don't care. I mean, they fucking only, if they do this right, they only have to play 3 quarters. Like, let's remember that, guys. They score 140 points in 3 quarters, and then everybody goes and sits down. And it's like, okay, well, good luck coming back. Cause if you come back, we're just going to put our starters back in. So honestly, it's like, you have to talk about the rest of the NBA in a vacuum. It's like, well, let's pretend the Golden State doesn't exist for a second. Let's talk about all these other 29 interesting teams. This is kind of fun. Look at this. I mean, everybody has some interesting possibilities and potential. It's a 29-team league. When you talk about it like that, it's a lot of fun. But it's not. It's a 30-team league, and it's just depressing when you it's not depressing. It's just kind of like all roads lead to Rome, and by Rome, I mean the Oracle. Miami, listen, okay, here's Golden State wins this game, but from a fantasy perspective, it's hard to solve what you need to know here. Miami's going to get a big advantage in ability to run the court. Golden State allows a lot of defensive rebounds and fast break points. They don't allow a ton of assisted buckets, but they are going to allow some fast break points. They're going to allow some transition. The fact that they play transition creates transition. They're number one in the league in transition points. It's insane how many points. They get like 30 points a game from the fast break, which is just fucking mind-blowing. So if we want to attack the rebounds, you got to like Whiteside. We've been attacking Golden State at the center. They don't allow, you know, they will allow a lot of defensive rebounds. They don't attack the glass offensively. They're not that great at an offensive rebound rate. So they will let you defensive rebound, and I think Whiteside should be in for a big game. He had a massive game against DeAndre Jordan. I mean, I wrote up DeAndre Jordan yesterday, and Jordan had a great game, but like Whiteside had an even better game. So he's their primary rebounder, no doubt about it. You know, he's not that bad on a back-to-back. Like, so I looked up the back-to-backs. It's he shoots slightly worse. He makes like one or two less fewer field goals per game. Not a bad spot for him. The other guy I like, and this is weird, okay? So if Deion, if the Island of Waiters cannot get back from Miami to Golden State, which, by the way, congratulations, shout out to Deion Waiters, birth of his daughter. Very exciting for the Waiters family. Guys, gifts in the mail. It's really cute. And Tyler Johnson, man, he's just too cheap. He's getting tons of minutes. I think he's $3,900 for, like, he got 30 minutes yesterday. Yeah, he's $3,900 and he got 30 minutes yesterday. We know this guy is capable of 30, 40 fantasy points. What did he do yesterday? As soon as he's on the court for 30 minutes, he does it. He actually also runs really, really well in transition. He gets a ton of good fast break points. That's how he does a lot of his scoring. Josh Richardson is also a fast break points guy. So those are your guys that you want if you want to try to attack this transition issue. The problem with Johnson is that the floor is brutal. And if Waiters is back, then you really can't project the minutes. You really have a hard time projecting this backcourt. It's kind of a jumbled mess. So I think if he's out, then you lock him in. But he'll be one of the better values on the slate. I think I'm willing to take a risk on him. I'm willing to take a risk on him. Given the nature of the small slate and the ability of him to exceed value because he's so cheap. We're talking about Tyler Johnson. I need 20 points from you. Tyler Johnson, 20 points. All he really needs, based on the numbers that I'm seeing, he really only needs 20 minutes. And even in Waiters games, he's getting 22 minutes. And maybe last night, maybe Waiters doesn't play, or maybe Waiters doesn't play well. Tyler Johnson, God, you have just the strangest facial hair. Just awkward. He looks like, I'm looking at his game log, like his FanDuel picture. He looks like he should be like carrying water and hay in a medieval town, like lugging it along, lots of mud. I'm just staring at it. It's like a, anyway, Tyler Johnson, $3,900. What do I need from him? I need 18 points. He can give you 18 points. That's 5X. Come on, dog. You got this. Yeah, I have no problem with him. So he's one of them. Dragic, he just hasn't done it recently. I mean, he's just not really doing it either. I mean, he's got a new beard too, so it's just not really working for me. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? Dragic's beard's way better than Johnson's. It's just spot. It's kind of patchy. I don't know. The last couple thoughts on the Miami side. James Johnson, maybe he's very tilting. I don't necessarily, I know how tilting he is, and the investment of 6K on this slate, I probably would prefer a 6K player like a Damari Carroll or Rondé or a TJ Warren. James Johnson is a massive, massive hole in his floor compared to those guys as far as a 6K asset on this slate. So a little bit less interested in that. And then you could always, I mean, there's all the Boston guys who are just below 6K who probably have a much more clear floor. You know, those little margins matter. Those hundreds of dollars matter. So I think the scoring is there. I mean, he scored, you know, anywhere between 10, 15 points a game. He benefits from rebounding. That's the thing. But with Whiteside out there, he's not going to get as many rebounds. We know that Whiteside kind of kills his value. I guess what I'm trying to say is Johnson could be a guy at the end of the night that you look up and you go, wow, how did he have that many points? But you don't want to start the night rostering him because it's just kind of scary. Now, Josh Richardson, price is down, 4,800. It's a great price for Josh Richardson at small forward. I have no problem with him either. On the Warriors side, we want players who are going to create in the half court. For me, that's Steph. I mean, he has the highest score, unassisted score rate on the Warriors. I mean, guys like Clay, guys like Draymond. Miami makes a point of not allowing transition baskets. They're top 10 and fewest transition points allowed. So and Golden State is number one in transition points. It doesn't mean that they're not going to get transition points. What it means to me is that it's going to be harder, and they're probably going to make a point of rushing back on defense to limit fast break efficiency. In which case, in the half court, Steph is the unassisted field goal guy. So I don't mind Steph. That's my stud. If I want to go here, I don't. The problem with Golden State is the same problem as always. They're overpriced. You don't know who's going to do it. You are very, very, you're just as likely to get 5X as you are to get 3X. Because they're so deep that it doesn't matter if Steph has 30 fantasy points to this team, or Draymond only has, you know, 17 fantasy points. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because they're so, so deep and so well-rounded. So it's hard to project them for fantasy. And I wouldn't even, honestly, you may even want to fade them. And I have zero problem fading them. I have zero issues fading them tomorrow, you know, tonight, if you are a person who's like, no, Golden State tilts me into oblivion, I can't do it. So that's fine. Clay, though, is the most well-priced. Clay is the most well-priced. And actually, the front court guys are decently well-priced as well. If Omri Caspi got minutes, I'd play him. Zaza, if he got minutes, I'd play. We know how Kerr does his front court guys. He gives them, you know, 10, 15 minutes just to give Draymond a rest. Clay is the most well-priced, though, so I might look at him at 7,200. It's hard not to think that he has the same range of outcomes as, you know, I mean, D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, right? He does, doesn't he? Especially if Waiters plays. God, if Waiters plays, whoo, Clay. We saw Andrew Wiggins go ham on Waiters. He did. He went bananas on him. So if Wiggins play, if Waiters is going to play, which let me check my Twitter notifications real quick. Let me see. Oh, good news, guys. Marcus Wheaton is practicing. That's huge. I'm kidding. Oh, God. Eddie Lacy is questionable. That just ruins everything. No, we don't have any news. We do have Quincy AC, Trevor Booker news. Booker, questionable. AC, probable. Don't care about AC. Do care about Booker. Do care about Booker. Booker is a real threat to RSJ's minutes. AC, not so much. Not so much, especially possibly banged up AC. So that's that. But keep your eye on the Waiters news. You got to know. You got to know if he's flying, if he's going to go to Golden State, then he's probably going to play. The question is did they plan on that? They have a plan. They know. I mean, Spo knows. He just hasn't told the public yet because it's, you know, it's still morning shoot around, and it's probably, they probably just got there. So you'll see this afternoon. So plays from this game, Miami Golden State Whiteside, one of my favorite plays here. Tyler Johnson for value, especially if Waiters is out. Richardson, well priced. Clay and Steph. Those are kind of what I'm doing. Now, of course, because I said Clay and Steph, Draymond's going to have 60 and KD will have 75. But what do I know? All right, moving on to the lineup section here. This is where I'll throw together a quick lineup. Now, listen, I want to be clear about this. If you're new to the show, I know I have new listeners. I do the lineup section just to kind of give you a sense of how things fit together, because I know some people are sitting in their car. You know, you're driving, you're at work, you don't have access. And don't you dare take out your phone and get your FanDuel app out while you're driving. Come on, don't do that. It's not important. It's not to say that I haven't done it, but it's something that I'm not proud of. That is something I will say. Not proud of it. I'm not going to even pretend like that. All right, so I am going to go. I'm going to go to Steph and Whiteside. Those are my two high-priced guys, okay? Those are my two high-priced guys. Now, if I'm feeling comfortable here, I would take Tyler Johnson. Now, let's pretend Tyler Johnson is in there. Tyler Johnson and Steph at point guard. I am going to stack up the shooting guards from Brooklyn, Phoenix, D'Angelo and Devin Booker. At small forward, I'm going to take one of these 6,200 guys, TJ or Damari. I'm definitely going to have at least one of them, okay? TJ or Damari. And I'm going to have Allen Crabbe, all right? And a power forward, I am probably going to have Marcus Morris. And then I have $6,400 left, and that's James Johnson, Jason Tatum, John Collins. Those are kind of where I have this. Which is not my favorite thing in the world, okay? Kind of not my favorite. Not my favorite. So maybe let's try this. Let's go down to Clay off of D'Angelo. And then let's go up to Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Now, that's one way to do it, okay? That's one way to do it. And you got Tyler Johnson, Steph Curry, Clay Thompson, Devin Booker, Allen Crabbe, TJ Warren, Marcus Morris, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Now, Sean, I don't trust Tyler Johnson's minutes. I understand that. Then fine. You can go ahead and you can play Luke Babbitt along with Marcus Morris. He had $3,800 to $4,000 power forwards. Punting power forward, totally fine with that. Go ahead and get you a better point guard, $7,300. You could play Eric Bledsoe. Just kidding. you could play the Dragon. You could definitely play the Dragon at that price, but, you know, I mean, Dragon has only had two good games, and one of them was against Denver. Let's be very clear about this. Emmanuel Mudiay is not equivalent of Steph, okay? So you could play some Mike James, and you could upgrade, you know, you could upgrade Allen. Oh, God, that would have been sweet to play TJ Warren and Damari Carroll. You can upgrade Allen Crabbe to Jaylen Brown. You can upgrade, you know, you could do Josh Richardson and Allen Crabbe. That's interesting, too. So there's a lot of ways to play with it, guys. I mean, it's, you know, it's up to you what you feel comfortable with. It's three-game slates, though. You got to get some stuff right. So, you know, I mean, get it. I guess what I'm trying to say is this is really good advice, is get it right. Anyway, okay. I will, I'll talk to you guys later. It's amazing that I was able to do a 40-minute podcast.